Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbeck, and we are in Dallas, Texas, but not just anywhere in Dallas, Texas, Kent. We are at Herb's House, Herb's House Coffee, and we are, and that's the Herbster right there.
Very toast.
Oh, okay. And we've got a great study in store for you today. We have one last verse we're looking at in John 17. And it's verse 26, and the title of this is Divine Love. Divine Love, as Jesus comes to the end of his high priestly prayer, and he prays this to the Father the night before he is crucified. He says to the Father, I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love which you, with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Kent, there's so much theology packed in this, but it really speaks to the love of God the Father for his Son. And this goes back to eternity past, really without beginning, that the Father has always been in fellowship with the Son, and the Son has been the object of the Father's love. Mm-hmm. And there were times during Jesus' earthly ministry, at his baptism on the Mount of Transfiguration, there were times when the Father would express that love, even in front of others. But this love that the Father has for the Son is an infinite love. And what is so overwhelming about this verse, Kent, is that this is the very same love that the Father has for you and me. Mm-hmm. It's not a lesser love. It's not an inferior love. It's an infinite love. It's a perfect love that God the Father has for us. And we could put it this way, that the Father loves us as much as he loves his own Son, because his Son is in us and we are in his Son. So let's just walk through this verse. This should be a great encouragement to each one of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, of the limitless magnitude of the love of the Father for us. And so this begins, Jesus says to the Father, I've made your name known to them. And when he says your name, he's referring to far more than just the name God, G-O-D, or Lord. When he says name here, he's referring to all that God is. The person of God, the being of God, the attributes of God. And Jesus has come, Colossians 1:15 says, to be the image of the invisible God. So Jesus has come to be the perfect revelation of God the Father to us. And so we know the Father because we know the Son. And they are of the same essence and same attributes. And I think of John 1, verse 18, where it says that Jesus has explained the Father to us. And literally that word explained means exegeted, like we would exegete a passage of scripture and parse the verbs and do word studies and dig into a verse. Jesus has really, in a sense, parsed the Father to us and exegeted him to us at a depth and level that no one else could. And in John 14, verse 8, you remember when Philip said, show us the Father, and that's enough. And Jesus said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So to behold the Son is to behold all that the Father is. And then he says, and will make it known, a continuing will make it known. And I think that really speaks to the cross, that really the attributes of God were most supremely put on display at the cross. It's the greatest revelation of the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, even the wrath of God. And Jesus continues to make the Father known to us through the rest of the New Testament that would be written and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But here is where it ties in. So that the love with which you loved me may be in them. And that this love is eternal love. It's perfect love. It's infinite love. It's unconditional love. That's the love that the Father has for us. That there's nothing we can do to sever this love relationship that the Father has with us and us with Him. And then He adds, and I in them. Well, to get to the bottom of that statement is a challenge, but it will ultimately be fulfilled in the indwelling Holy Spirit who comes to indwell us, and Christ lives in us by His Holy Spirit. And so the intimacy of this relationship that we have with the Father and that we have with the Son and that we have with the Holy Spirit is closer than any relationship we would ever know here upon the earth. I mean, it's closer than, Kent, even our friendship. It's closer than our marriage with our wives, that Christ lives in us and we live in Christ, and the Father has set this perfect love on us. So, Kent, we are deeply loved by each person of the Trinity, and specifically here by the Father. So we need to talk about this and kind of work this out in our lives.
You know, Steve, this is, I think we've talked about it, that this salvation could not be dreamed up in our minds. It has to be from God.
Yeah.
And what you just said here is John is saying that love is really the glue that makes all this happen.
Yeah.
So what's the difference, Steve? Here's the question, because I know that, you know, we can get married and be outside of Christ, and we can have love for our kids and be outside of Christ. We can have love, as I said, for our wife and be outside of Christ, mm-hmm. non-Christians. Can you explain the difference in this love that we have for each other, which mm-hmm. is real,
mm-hmm.
and then this love that God has for us? What's the difference in this kind of love? Because we hear love, but there's a difference.
Well, the love that unbelievers have for each other is a far lesser love, because they're not given a capacity to love in a fuller measure as a Christian. God is love. And in 1 John 4, which we've been studying in our men's study, really says that God gives us a love by which we love God and we love the brethren. And so it's a capacity that a non-Christian will never be able to experience nor know. And yet even at that, our love for God is never perfect, but His love for us is perfect. And so the love that He has for us is even infinitely greater than how we can respond and love Him. And because He's God, and He is without limitations. He is omni-love. He is all love. And at best, we still are flawed with some measure of self-love and love for the things of this world that we have to become detached from progressively over our Christian life. So it's a great question, Kent, and it really does speak to how a Christian should marry another Christian. If you are to have a truly intimate love relationship with your spouse, there is a depth that believers have in a relationship that unbelievers just don't have that gear shift. They don't have that capacity.
Yeah. So let's take that a step further to try to understand, because again, I want to see if our audience and we can all understand the difference between this love, this natural love that we have for each other, and the deeper love.
Yeah, yeah.
What's an example of how God loves and we have an ability to love at a higher level than just, say, our friends that don't know Christ?
Yeah.
Is there an example?
Yeah, there sure. The first thing that flashes to my mind is forgiveness.
Okay.
I mean, God has unconditionally forgiven us, and love covers a multitude of sins. Well, that's the same forgiveness that we extend to others. And of course, we don't always perfectly forgive. But nevertheless, that's a distinguishing mark of the love of believers towards others.
Oh, that's good.
And I think maybe one more word is patience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God gives us a supernatural patience, and especially to us as men who are just kind of grinding things out, projects and all of that, that patience does not come naturally to us. I think it more naturally comes to a mother and to a wife. And so God has been very patient with us, and that's poured into our life and soul, and it pours back out of us in our patience with others. And so I think those two words, forgiveness and patience, is what just immediately flashes to our minds.
It's a big difference.
It is a big difference. And we've got to, we must grow in this. And I have a lot of room to grow, but I'm more patient and more forgiving than I used to be. So what about you? What about your life as you've been listening to this? Do you need more forgiveness for others, perhaps a family member, perhaps a friend? Do you need to be more patient and long-suffering? Well, it's really the source of this is God. And as we are plugged into God and the Holy Spirit and Christ indwell us, we just have a supernatural capacity to love others. So may this be a good challenge for us today. And may you rely upon the Lord himself to enlarge your heart for others. Well, thank you for joining us today on Steadfast Hope. This has been a great study. We can't wait for the next opportunity to be able to bring the Word of God to you. Thank you.